This episode is for parents, and for those who have parents, or for those who know parents who have LGBTQ children. Today, we're going to answer the top five questions that almost always come up. We've worked with tens of thousands of parents, and these are the questions that these parents almost always ask. Today, we're going to answer them.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday, so I call you up and you call me down, would it be okay?
Well, hello and welcome to the Freed Hearts Podcast. This is episode 21 and we are thrilled, full of joy and happy, happy thoughts that you are listening to us.
We are.
We are. My name is Robert Cottrell and I'm here with the stunning, the... What were you about to say?
Susan Cottrell.
Anyway.
I was about to say my name.
Again, thanks for listening. We're so glad you're here. This is a special episode that talks about the top five questions parents ask about their LGBTQ plus child. This episode is especially for parents, but it's also for those listening whose parents have struggled in any way with all of this. And for those who just want to understand in a deeper way the journey of what it's like to be a parent, what comes up being a parent of a LGBTQ plus child. And this might be, if you're not a parent listening to this, well, if you're a parent listening to this, it's for you. Might be a good episode to share with other parents who you come into contact with. And if you're not a parent listening to this, share it with your own parents. Mm-hmm. This might be a really good one. We had some of these questions ourselves, and we've documented our journey a lot of different places. But in our work with really tens of thousands of parents, there were five questions that almost always come up right away. And we help answer these and as well as reconcile deeply held faith issues so we can set their hearts free to fully accept, affirm, and love their kids. And ultimately free to fully accept and affirm and love themselves. So let's go through these top five questions. And remember, please, 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 please email us podcast@freedhearts.org. I'll overpronounce those words. Email us and ask questions yourself. We will have a visit to the Freed Hearts inbox soon. So please email us if you have questions you'd like us to answer, topics you would like us to address, if you would like me to tell more jokes, sing. Why are you laughing at that? Okay.
I'm appreciating your joke.
my peeps hear me out there. I know it's your face on the podcast image, but I got my own peeps out there. So, all right. So let's go through these top five questions. Number one, Susan, did I do something wrong?
Okay. No.
Now we're talking about the way these are questions from parents. Let's go back to restate that. It wasn't from me. The parents will say, did I do something wrong?
Right. What? Yeah. The answer is no. And there are two pieces to this. First of all, to say, did I do something wrong, assumes that something went wrong.
That's right.
That, you know, there's something wrong with your child being LGBTQ. Okay, that's the first thing. That's not wrong. That's how they are. And that's the way it is. And there's nothing wrong. But I know what you mean by the question, did I cause this, is basically what you're saying. Did I mess them up? as one parent said, I quoted him in Mom, I'm Gay, said, I thought I had messed up so badly and created this thing in my child so bad that even God couldn't fix it. And that was messed up. So let me just say, you did not create this. It's not because the father's distant or the mother's overbearing. That all came from teaching from the moral majority whole era.
That's not true.
It's not true.
And there's no basis for anything on that.
No. And that's the thing, that statistically, there's no correlation between dysfunctional upbringing and being LGBTQ.
Yeah. I don't even want to give it anymore.
Right.
That's absolute.
It's
bogus.
It's patriarchal teaching.
Yeah.
It's wrong. So yeah. You know, and plenty of people had a lot of things go wrong in their childhood that are straight. So there's just no correlation.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you, well, you did not do anything wrong. And to think that you did is kind of outside of or is part of the binary thinking of what's right and what's wrong. I will tell you, if your child, if you come from a Christian background, a faith background, and you have been in the non-affirming church, and your child came to you and said, "Mom, I'm gay, or I'm lesbian, or I'm bisexual, or I'm transgender," well done. You have raised a strong, brave, bold child that is brave enough, that is strong enough to live, to tell you that.
Yes.
And to have that commitment to live true to who they are. So you have a great child. So well Aww. Done. You didn't do anything wrong.
Do you guys see why I love this man?
I'm going to make my notes
amazing.
Step up.
Amazing. You're right. Amazing.
Okay, number two. Doesn't the Bible say it's a sin?
No.
Okay, number three. You know, honestly, it really is that simple.
It really is that simple.
It doesn't say it's a sin.
Yeah, your translation may have had it added in there. But that's all that happened. It's not, it does not say that. So, you know.
Yes. You hear sometimes that you're twisting scripture. No, scripture has already been twisted to justify the condemnation of your LGBTQ child.
We're untwisting it.
We are trying to untwist it.
Yeah.
And there are lots of examples. We talk about the movie 1946 and when that one translation that took these two words that had nothing to do with this and smushed it together to create homosexual, the first time that word ever appeared in the Bible. But all these, and there's the passage that originally was translated, "Man shall not lay with a boy," that ends up being "Man shall not lay with a man." These passages talk about a lot of things: idol worship, abuse, pedophilia. They have absolutely nothing to do with consensual, loving, same-sex relationships. They have nothing to do with your child. The Bible does not say that being gay or same-sex relationships are sinful.
And a young man, a gay man, said to me, "Does it have to be loving?" Which I understand. A lot of people have sex that's not loving. That's just casual. And that's not what we mean that is condemned. What we mean by loving is consensual.
Well, not
it's
abusive.
Not a power.
Yeah,
right.
It's not abusive.
If there's a power dynamic to it, it's non-consensual.
Yeah.
And I think we could look pretty good into the church and find a lot of that from religious leaders to youth. So that would be a more effective thing to do with ourselves.
So number two, no. Number three, parents ask, what will their lives be like? I'm afraid for my child. What are their lives going to be like?
Well, and that is a good question because in our minds, we're thinking of this understanding we have of what it means to be gay, and they're going to be ostracized or trans, and what will become of them. And I understand the fear.
Yeah, that's valid.
It's valid
that's
fear.
Valid. Because of this us versus them, because their rejection and shaming and bullying and condemnation has been justified. Yeah, the world out there.
Because of the teaching of contempt against them.
Yeah, the world out there, the non-affirming Christian church, depending on where you live, the communities out there, it can be and is a scary place at times.
But what's scarier is for them to sublimate that, go underground, and, you know, for him to marry a woman so that he can become straight, and then 20 years later, you know...
You didn't mean that. He could become straight. You're being sarcastic.
I'm being sarcastic because he won't become straight. What I'm saying is to sublimate it.
Yeah.
And create this false life is worse than just being who they are by far. Of course, that's obviously true. So what I'm saying is what their lives will be like, you can help their lives be a lot better by loving and affirming them.
Yes.
Is it going to be an additional challenge? It might be, depending on where they live and what their life is. It might not be if they're in parts of the country where we love and accept people, you know, and that's what we're working toward is not having people have a harder life because they're LGBTQ.
Well, I think
have a huge, huge impact as a parent on embracing them. If you're there for them, they can face mountains that would be much, much harder without you. Please hear that. So what their lives will be like, are largely affected by how much you love them.
Yeah, the things,
unconditionally.
The things that you hear, well, that's you know, that community is full of this and that behavior. Issues like self-harm and substance abuse and depression and suicide are a direct result of faith-based family rejection.
Yes. And so, we see that in the straight community too, obviously.
Right.
That those self-harming behaviors, self-destructive behaviors, come from lack of acceptance as they are primarily family.
Right. 58% of transgender youth without supportive parents attempt suicide. When even one parent is supportive, that number drops to 4%. Like Susan said, you have the ability to have an even greater impact on their lives, for good or bad,
yeah,
than you even know. And if I would ask back that question, well, what do you say, what would their lives be like? Well, if I were to say, what do you want their lives to be like? I think when it comes down to it, you want them to love and be loved for who they are. And the first step to doing that is you showing them that kind of love and acceptance. Yeah.
This is weird, but when we were first pregnant, with our first child.
Thanks for including me in that.
We were together as a couple pregnant with this child. And
my part was, never mind.
Enough. and we had it in our minds it was going to be a girl. And I'd gone to the thrift stores and found some baby girl clothes. I don't know where we got this idea, but we thought it was going to be a girl. And then we had an ultrasound and it was a boy. And we're like, oh my gosh. And suddenly we're screeching the brakes in our mind, you know? And a friend of ours said, oh my gosh, I'm thinking high tops and, you know, this and that, and overalls, whatever. And just kind of shifted our perspective to say, oh yeah, it's a boy. That's awesome. It just wasn't what we had in our mind somehow. And this is the same thing. If you understand that, oh yeah, I expected straight because I live in a heteronormative culture, but oh, I've got a gay son. I've got a trans daughter. Okay, great. Now, get my head around that. Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, that leads us right into one of our questions. And I'm going to do that, where parents will say, how do I grieve the loss of my dreams, of my expectations? How do I grieve the loss of my dreams?
Well, that is a really good question, too. And this is not unique to parents of LGBTQ kids. It may be more pronounced. But how many kids do you know that are so messed up because their father wanted a doctor and this kid wanted to be a pianist?
Or a football player.
Or a football player, and they had no interest in sports. So to have a dream that you want your child to fulfill, that's already, okay, we're on the wrong track there.
Yeah.
And that's something to recognize first of all. But this is more deeply ingrained, this heteronormativity in our expectations. But you grieve your, and it is a loss of an expectation. It does not mean you don't love your child. It doesn't mean you're non-supportive of your child. But the grief is you had an expectation and now that's not going to be fulfilled. And that you can grieve, and it's good for you to grieve, but grieve it downline, you know, outward from your child. Don't grieve it with your child because that gives a burden to them that they don't need. So
we've said wrestle.
A friend who's supportive of you. Go ahead.
Yeah, we said wrestle with God on this, not with your child.
Yes.
Some of these issues, yeah.
Yes, that's right. So a supportive friend who will support you, in not somebody who will tell you, well, they shouldn't be gay anyway. That's not what you need. But somebody who can be there for you, you know, your partner, if they're affirming, a safe place to just deconstruct that loss and journal about it. I'm big on journaling.
Yeah.
You know?
Would you want to talk a little bit about, because I know we...
But those are your dreams.
Yeah, that's the key word there. It's your dreams. That's right.
Yes.
And we say, I was going to say this at the end of this question, but something else that will help in this and going through this particular issue is realizing that your child's dreams for their life might just be starting to come true or even possible.
Yes.
And that as a parent should go, oh my gosh, yes.
Yes.
I want my child's dreams for their life to be true.
Yeah.
So some of this comes when, oh, I was planning on a big wedding or children, you know, biological children or whatever the issue is. Do you want to talk at all about having a transgender child? because we, and I think of a story of a couple in Oklahoma that we dealt with early on. And the dad was just, the dad has a transgender son, and he was grieving and he was in tears. And we just talked, and he lost it. He just lost it. And I let him grieve the loss of his daughter. And at the end, he said, you know, I realized that I've cried three episodes in a row here. I didn't realize that I was not able to celebrate having a son until I had grieved the loss of my daughter.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
And so there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's okay. But it's you, as we said, it's your grief. It has nothing to do with the worth or acceptance or affirmation of your child.
Yes.
You know, let those feelings come. As Susan said, get supportive help, affirming, inclusive, supportive help. Do your wrestling with God, not with your child, but but to be able to work through that loss of your dreams frees you up to see the pure joy of, my gosh, my child for the first time in their life may be able to set this terror aside that they've had and see their own dreams come true.
Yes, yes.
And like we said early on, if you've got a child that is willing to do that and has come to you with this, you have an incredible strong child, and well done, mom and dad.
Yeah.
Well done.
And well done for being safe enough for them to come out too. There are a lot of strong children that don't come out because it's not safe.
Yeah.
So you want to be a safe place.
Yeah. Well, we talked a bit about your dream. So let's continue on the your focus here. That one question that we hear a lot is, well, what about my friends? What are my friends going to say? What about my church community?
Yeah. So I was just reading a little bit again from Amber Cantorna's first book, which is her story. And I had written the foreword.
Want to give a little
She is a lesbian woman who came out to her father, who works as an executive with Focus on the Family. And the family rejected them. That's how good the focus is on the family. The family rejected her.
Disowned her.
Has nothing to do with her, you know, which is a devastating thing to do to your child. And wrong, wrong, wrong. But as I was rereading a little part, it just came up on my computer the other day. He said, I am embarrassed about you. I'm embarrassed by you because people here expect me to be everything I preach.
Oh my gosh.
You embarrass me. I'm like, we have got the whole thing upside down on this.
Because
what needs to be embarrassing is I am not loving you well. I am embarrassed by how unloving I have been to you.
Yeah.
That needs to be our perspective. Instead of other people are looking to me for perfectionism. Well, you never should have been going for perfectionism, bucko.
Yeah, what are you preaching?
That's the wrong thing. Yes. Yeah. So what you need to be preaching is love. Love, period. And everything else line up under that. Doesn't that sound familiar? So now, I'm not saying it's not a big loss when your friends and community are at stake. And that is what happens in the evangelical church, the non-affirming church, is they will shun you before you can even get the rest of the sentence out. But when you discover that, it's almost like, okay, if you're going to do this to me, I think maybe I need to be in a different community.
Yeah, it was only a matter of time until it happened.
It was only a matter of time. And so just like with your child, if they come out and you will reject them, that was only a matter of time, that discovery. You settle in with discovering what you need in your life. And if your community will reject you or shun you or do whatever they do to make you pay for your child, then withdraw from that community.
Yep.
And it may be that you're a pastor and there's a high cost to it, but it's better for you to bear that cost than to put it on your child. To allow your child to bear that weight is scapegoating. And I know you don't want to do that to your child. So You come alongside and bear each other's burdens.
Yeah.
We're told. And that's what that means. And I do not want to reduce that and say that it's a small cost.
I mean,
it can be a big cost.
Yeah, it can hurt, and there are people
can hurt very, well, very much.
I will say from our experience, from losing friends and family, we were part of a very large church in the Woodlands, Texas, and we have heard from I think zero people of that church that we were a major part of.
We were there 3 years.
Yeah. And that's not very long, but we were, you know,
but it's,
we've become really part of that church and had a very close-knit, we thought close-knit small group. And when this happened, it was just gone. Anyway, that's
pretty long.
Yeah. Especially initially, that's hard. That's hard to take. That's hard to handle when friends don't call or won't, or they pull back. And when these friends have children who are friends of your own children, and that happens. And so we're not saying it's not difficult. It is difficult.
Yeah.
But I will tell you from
but our... you carry the cost of it instead of putting that on your child. Go ahead.
And I will tell you that from our experience and from virtually everyone that we've dealt with who has gone through this, when you push through this, what you come up with are true friends.
Yes.
Deeper relationships. Stronger community who love you for who you are and are there for you, period, unconditionally. And that, it's almost like if I would have known that, I would have not resisted losing the initial friends. But I will give you that thing to look forward to in the future. If you're in the process of losing friends and community over this, just Stay there. I mean, stay in there. Stay on the path. Better friends, better community are coming.
Absolutely. I just had a flash of like being in ninth grade and, you know, the end of junior high or eighth, where depending on where you are, and you're about to go to high school and you're like, oh no, I won't know anybody. All my friends are here. I can't move on to high school. That's too scary. But you go and pretty soon you've got new friends and you wouldn't go back to junior high for anything.
Yeah.
And that's really, we feel that way about our old community. I wouldn't go back into that community for anything.
Yeah. Do we want that kind of conditional relationship, conditional love? No. And I was going to talk with Paul Stone Williams and you can, and just correct me as I go, because I'm going to paraphrase this, but she is a transgender woman and spent years as Paul Williams, as a leader, as a major person in the evangelical community and church planting and growth, and she transitioned to the woman that she is, and it's her name is Paula Stone Williams, and she tells a story about she had tens of thousands of friends when she transitioned, and she says, I've heard from, I don't know the numbers, but I've heard from even heard from just a few hundred. Those who have really reached out to me are just a handful of 10,000 friends. Now, does she really want to go back for the relationship with 9,000 X hundred number of friends who want nothing to do with her because of this?
Right.
You know what I mean? So there, and what incredible, and when the handful of real friends are lost in the 10,000, sometimes we miss that. But part of this, it's the cream has, you know, come to the top here. She's discovered these incredible friends that were part of that she may have missed just in sheer numbers.
Yes,
so
that's right.
Hang in there, parents. Hang in there.
Yeah. You don't know your friends till you're in the trenches very often.
Yeah. So that's five, but we do have a bonus question. We like to have a bonus question. And this is something that we hear in response to, we have Facebook pages and groups and we get, and through the TED Talk and through our social media, parents will find us and reach out to us. And one of the first things they almost always say is, oh my gosh, I thought I was all alone. And
can we pause on that for 1 second? So if there are every day, you know, there are gay people coming out, trans people coming out, and many of them come from churches, don't they have parents? So how could you be all alone? Do you know what I mean? And that we have that perception that we're all alone when we're facing something really difficult for us. is part of the breakdown of community.
Shows that it's
in
unsafe.
Our churches.
Shows that it's unsafe.
Shows that it's unsafe to be who you are.
Yeah.
Because there should be a whole group for parents of LGBTQ kids in these churches, because they're all there. But the fact that they're not shows that it's not a safe thing to be in those churches.
Yeah. And I will say that I won't call them out by name, but there are a couple of major Christian, formerly non-affirming evangelical mega churches out there that now have regular group program that's affirming and inclusive for parents of LGBTQ kids.
Yes.
And we've seen that over the past few years. We know about them. If we had any hand in making those happen, we're humbled by that. But change is happening. You know, when Annie first came out, if you Googled Christian parent of gay child help, you know, what you're going to get is focus on the family, or what you got was focus on the family and others like that. Mm-hmm. Now that's not the case. And Susan has said in the past, you said that I looked for resources and I couldn't find anything, so I wrote a book. So things are changing, and that's really exciting. But the easy answer is, if you're listening to our voice right now, no, you're not alone. You are not alone.
That's right.
Well, we have, as we wrap up here, we have extensive resources for you. If you're a parent, if you are dealing with your parents, if you know parents, or if you just want to learn more about this and always, and if you're LGBTQ and allies, we have extensive resources for you too. But we have extensive resources. We have a conference-length video course for parents and one for LGBTQ. We have Susan's book, Mom, I'm Gay, and your book, True Colors, and other books. And I will tell you right now that if finances are an issue, we never want finances to be a hurdle for you. So if you need a resource and you can't afford a resource, just email us and we'll figure out something, a way to get that to you. And that's just email us at hello@freedhearts.org. We also have vibrant community. We have several private Facebook groups for parents, one for parents who are kind of new on the journey, one for parents a bit more seasoned. We have one just for moms of transgender children. We have one just for dads. We have a community for chosen family for LGBTQ. We have a community for parents and other advocates. So we have vibrant community for you. So you don't have to go through this alone. We have a place you can get encouraged and supported and get your questions answered. And again, reach out to us through the website and we'll put you in touch with that. Just come say hello.
Yes.
Come say hello and stay on the journey. You know, stay on the journey, err on the side of love, and trust God, the creator, the universe. Trust that with all the rest. You will never, ever, ever regret, if it's even possible, to love, quote, too much. You're on the right track. You're not alone. And we will go on this journey with you, yeah?
Yeah. We're so glad you're here and we love you.
You are beloved. Bye.
Bye.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
You've been listening to the Freed Hearts Podcast. We have extensive resources and vibrant community for you at www.freedhearts.org. Just come say hello. And if you have questions or issues or comments about the podcast, things you'd like us to talk about, reach out to us at podcast@freedhearts.org. The music is provided by Hannah Cottrell, our daughter, the Grammy-nominated Saint Sinner, and you can find out more about her at heysaintsinner.com. Please share this, subscribe, and follow on your favorite platform, and thanks for listening.